The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bed, see the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad, out of bad day, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial right across the river and through the woods from where Granny likes to roll up fatties and wash it down with a bottle of vino, Pinot Grigio in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion check it up, should do be all my finna come around, flats of party, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, with the best is town's tattered, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High tonight. Under a tremendous strain this evening as Boston, my 125-pound Cujo dog, has once again blown out his ACL. But this time, Carver High, it is the other leg. So the dog goes after.
You're kidding me.
Honestly, I'm not
the
even.
Other leg
like,
now?
So the dog went after. So I like live in the woods, right? And so the dog went after something in the woods, like a squirrel, a chipmunk, a bird. It doesn't take much. And I mean, this dog, when it gets going, it is like a freight train. And I mean, it is no joke. And it jumps over this wall and over these rocks and lands in like the forest. And it is just not safe. And it is not, it's just so dumb. The dog's so dumb, it doesn't know whether it's coming or going. Sure enough, the dog comes out of the woods and he can't walk. He's like dragging himself on the ground. Like laying on the ground, dragging himself, completely broken. His leg's broken. And so we took it to the hospital, 34C did, because she went and took care of it. It's a disaster. It's Farrell on a bench.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. we can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, for all in a bit, so the dog is very important to the audience, as we all know. We've talked about Boston many times on the show. So the dog blows out his ACL. The first time the dog blew out his ACL was on the right leg, right? So that one had surgery. And then literally, I don't know if you remember that, Carver High, but I had to like walk the dog with like a harness on. You put this like thing under its belly and lift it up, and then you hold it as you're like walking next to the dog. It's like the dog's a paraplegic or something. And then
when this happened the first time, yeah.
And it takes like 6 months of that, like every day. So the dog can't walk at all. You have to like take him outside to go to the bathroom and stuff. It's like the worst thing you've ever gone through. And then so the dog actually, after like 6 months, got better, right? The dog, it worked, right? So they put a steel bar in the dog's leg over the tendon, which the dogs only have one. Once they blow it out, it's over. They don't have another one. They put a steel bar in there. So the dog cannot do it again, is what I've been told. It cannot do it twice to the same leg. So the dog's one leg is now fine. So what does he do? He goes out and blows out the other one, the left leg. So now I'm gonna have a dog with two knee replacement surgeries. And I'm just like, I said to 34C, I'm like, how many of these do you think you're gonna put up with before you? And she's like don't even mention it. She goes, I'll leave you. I've been with her 20 some years. I got two kids. She's ready to leave me over a dog. Like, honestly, like, I don't even have a bad relationship at all with 34C. I really don't. You know that's true, Carver High. I get along with her. And I have a great, unless I'm tripping, unless she's, you know, lying to me for 20-some years and sleeping with my buddies or something. I don't know. Like, what am I? I'm not Mr. Know-it-all. I don't know everything. These chicks are evil. So I'm cool to her. And that's just all there is to it. I don't tell my wife or anything. Women, I don't tell them what to do. I'm not one of those dudes. I'm not a control freak. I'm not a sneaky. I'm not looking at their phones. I'm not, you know, not trusting people. Like, I'm not that guy. It's not who I am. I don't like order people around, Carver High, Mafia. I'm not that guy. I'm not. You know it's true. So I would never, you know, be in the way of her doing anything to make her happy or whatever she's into. But like when I mention that dog, I'm like, this just isn't worth it. Like, who needs a dog that is costing me 30, 40 grand a year just in surgeries? I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what is happening here? Like, I love the dog too, but I'll get over it. Like, I'll get over it. If the dog ran in front of a car, I had a dog once get hit by a car, right? When I was a kid, and I saw it happen. Like, the dog ran right across the street in front of a car and boom, that was it. So then I had a dog in LA and I had a Westie, and this dog got run over by a car, and the tire went right over the dog's stomach, right? Like right over its entire body of organs in its insides. And the dog got massively injured, but the dog lived. So I've seen a dog killed by a car. I've seen a dog run over by a car and live. And it took like a year to heal. The dog was injured for like a year, but it lived. And then now I have a dog, 125 pound Cujo, who's had two knees blown out. And I mean, the dog's like a cripple now. It can't do anything. Meanwhile, the dog's so stupid that it like, well, it thinks it can catch squirrels. Bro, squirrels like jump up trees. In 5 seconds, the squirrel's on top of a tree. Meanwhile, the dog can't lift itself off 3 feet off the ground. It's 125 pounds. So the dog will chase the squirrel 100 miles an hour. And then when the squirrel jumps on the tree, the dog just sits at the end of the tree and stares up the tree. And I'm like, dude, how stupid are you? You're not catching that squirrel, dude. When I walk him, he wants to take on every squirrel in the neighborhood. And I'm like pulling the chains. This dog is stronger than an NFL team, like a lineman. Like, the dog is powerful. It's a giant muscle, this dog. And the dog wants to chase everything. Chipmunks, squirrels, dogs, cats, people, cars, bikes, motorcycles. Lawnmowers, like, the dog wants to attack everything. It just is evil. And meanwhile, it just injured every time it does it. It's just always something. And where I'm like, the dog, she says to me, I'm like, well, what are you going to do? Don't worry about it. They gave me 100 pain pills for the dog. The dog's on like heroin right now. He's out cold. He's like laying down on the floor. He's completely out cold on heroin. And I'm like, so the dog's like a junkie too? I'm like, what? I go, the dog does painkillers? And it's like, what's next? You're going to tell me it drinks? I mean, it is just unbelievable. He didn't stop begging, though. Like, I had three bratwursts going for dinner with, like, horseradish mustard. And I'm rocking these bratwursts. The dog's legs hanging off. And we hadn't taken it to the hospital yet. Like, the brats got done right when the dog got injured. And I'm like, well, this. I'm eating these brats. And so I'm eating the brats. The dog's dying. He's like, it's like an agony. And I'm like, he sees me eating these brats. He just quickly turned his head and he was like, what kind of action you got going on over here? And I'm like, I threw him a couple chunks. And the dog's a savage. Like, this dog will eat an entire, like, if you went to a buffet in Vegas, right, at the MGM, like the buffet that's like $30, literally the dog would eat the entire buffet in like 6 minutes. I mean, everything. The entire buffet would be gone in 6 minutes. It would eat every single thing that's on the buffet and it'd all be gone. And then the dog would still beg for more. This dog's a bottomless pit. Meanwhile, it's got broken legs, broken, torn ACLs, fake legs, completely built with, like, you know, Steve Austin, steel legs. The dog's like got no tendons left. The dog's ACLs are both blown out. And meanwhile, I got to pay for all of it. And I'm just like, I told her, I go, kill it. I mean, that's a nice word. No one wants to hear it, but put it down, kill it, whatever you want to call it. I'm like, she's like, do you even imagine that? I will kill you. I will cut off your organ. I will stuff it in your throat. I will sleep with all of your best friends. I will kill you. I will cut you. I will stab you in the chest. Life. Life. I'm like, never mind. Take the dog to the hospital. Do whatever you got to do. Send me the bill. I mean, it is just never ending. Can you believe it, Carver? How you can't even make this stuff up?
It's pretty stunning that you have to go through this all over again with this dog on a completely different leg. I remember when the pain and the agony that you went through the first time that you had to deal with this, and now here we are down the road. We have to do it again, but you're not going to get rid of that dog. I mean, I told you to get rid of that dog the day you got it. I said, you got to get rid of that dog. You should not be keeping that dog. And now you're look right at what's happened. Years later, look where you are.
It's a disaster. It's like the dog was laying on the driveway in agony, yelping and crying. And I'm like, what's wrong? And the dog couldn't get up. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then I saw what he got up. His leg was hanging off. And I could tell it was gone and shredded. And then he couldn't get in the house. He couldn't get up the steps.
And it couldn't have been easy because that dog clocks in at about 2 1/4. Let's be fair. I mean, the weight of that dog. It is just massive. He is a massive animal. He really is. Had to be tough to lug him into the car. I mean,
it was like the worst. Because this weekend I kind of blew out my back a little bit playing basketball. I got hurt. I have like this recurring. I'm not like the dog, but I have a recurring lower back problem. That's like over my hip. I have this. You know, I rupture this bone, this muscle that if I tear it, you know, lunging for a ball or something, and it pops out, it's a disaster, right? So all weekend I've been crippled. I've been having like Chops been giving me a massage thumper, the whole deal. I can't even do anything. So tonight here I am with my back blown out trying to lift a 200-pound dog in a car. Hell on earth.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Rick Haro's our sports business and legal insider on Sports Grid and on Coast to Coast, and Pharrell on the bench. He's from Harvard, and he's been a regular on the show for over 25 years. Rick, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you?
I'm all right. So I want to go back to our conversation today, at the very least, to start this. Explain to me what you think will happen tomorrow with the Big Ten, Pac-12, and frankly, the Power Five.
Well, it is interesting because most people are thinking it's over and you wait till next year. And the question is it spring or is it next year and kill 2000? I think there may be a kind of leave the ranch and leave everybody behind. And if you remember a few years ago with the College Football Association and the television stuff, everybody was scrambling for their own TV deal. And then conference realignment. You know, schools are great with their own conferences until they hear about self-interest, and then they'll cut and run from each other in a minute. And my sense is that we may see some conferences say, yeah, we're interested, and some saying, yeah, we're not. And within those schools or conferences, we may have some schools decide to fend for themselves and do some new alliances, wink, wink, nod, nod, make it for a year, but it might even be longer. So it is not the beginning of the end. I think it's the end of the beginning.
The end of the beginning. So in other words, in Portuguese, you think the SEC is still going to try to play football and everybody else and like the Big 12 might still try to play football and possibly the ACC and then every other conference that matters in college football is going to pull out.
Well, Mountain West already did, as you know, today, MAC 3 days ago. So the powerful conferences may say we're going to try to play. The less powerful conferences may say we're shutting down, and the schools within those conferences, you know, may say, well, we may play. You know, the Big Ten, we heard, voted 12-2 not to play. Now, the two schools, I'm assuming, will figure out exactly who and how, and we'll figure that they may be candidates. You know, Nebraska, which is a fairly low COVID state, has made the argument through Frost, the coach, we'll play anybody. It's kind of an interesting comment. I heard it. I saw it. And he wouldn't say that alone unless he checked fully with his president. So it is not over.
Well, I think, you know, I said this today on Coast to Coast, so I'll change it up a little bit and I'll just phrase it a different way. Nebraska is now no better than Northwestern in college football. So Scott Frost, he might as well call up Little Sisters of the Poor and Hamtramck Tech and Mount St. Helens Mary and see if they'll play him because Nebraska can't beat anybody else.
Well, I remember going to Northwestern undergrad, by the way, before Harvard. And those schools beat us. homecoming. All of those schools did. So, yeah. Hey, that's a pretty good analogy, by the way, Northwestern and Nebraska. Very well done. I remember sitting outside when Ohio State beat us 63-3 in our homecoming. We play Ohio State in our homecoming. Is that bright?
When you were at the games and you were a student there at undergrad, because my mom went there as well, but she went there for graduate. She went to Michigan undergrad Northwestern graduate. And so when you were there in the at Northwestern and you were losing 63-3, did you ever say to your friends in the section you were sitting at, this doesn't even matter because we're all going to be filthy rich when we leave this school anyway because it's one of the best schools in the country and we're smarter than everyone. Who cares about the football team? Pass me that whiskey.
Well, as it got to 30 degrees and Michigan was beating us 48-0 at half, you didn't have to say it. You just looked at each other and you said, yeah, we understand that.
You understand that athletics mean nothing. We're just here to drink and pick up women, and we're going to all be very successful in life if we just graduate from here.
Well, but they're the Barnett days. You know, it doesn't always happen. There was a scenario, you remember when they were playing the Rose Bowl, and had they won that game and if everything broke each way, there was a top five national championship thought. They were analogizing to that year with Schnellenberger when they came in number five, and if they won every other bowl game broke the other way, they'd have been the national champion, just like Miami did when they played Nebraska, ironically, if you remember that. Northwestern had that kind of season. But the problem is Northwestern does that once every 8 years. Miami was the best team money could buy. You and I both know that. By the way, what was that shot at the end of us on TV today where you said you didn't want to watch University of Miami again? Are you jumping ship,
no,
my friend?
No, I said if we play football, then I got to watch them lose to Louisiana Tech 29-0 again. Or if we don't play football, I don't have to watch that again. So maybe it's a blessing.
Hey, it's a Manny Diaz era, man. Move over. It's a Manny Diaz era. What does that mean?
Whatever.
Nothing.
Whatever that means.
Nothing.
You might as well be the coach, Rick. By the way, I have to be quick here because I got a lot of things to cover with you, but I did see you cleaning your garage over the weekend, and I saw the stolen freeway sign that I took when I was drunk one day in Florida.
Yeah, well, let's keep that secret. So now we only, what, have like 4 or 5 million people that know what we did? Wait, what you did? I didn't do it.
Statue of Ferelitations. I'm good to go. You're a lawyer. You know I'm free and clear of that. Esports generated 500+ million in revenue in 2019 in Asia. What about that's number one region in the world for that revenue. What about the U.S.? Who cares about Asia?
Well, we care about the U.S. because or Asia because it's a trend, good or bad. Look, 68% of the esports gaming revenue comes from Asia. The infrastructure, the deals, the business, the money. And so it is moving in that direction, as we know. The tournaments, sports tourism, all of that stuff continues to increase. And we said if anybody's going to win in this pandemic, it's esports.
So what about the tennis tournament at Indian Wells that you're writing about, the BNP Open, where what's going on there? They're taking their merchandise online?
Well, this is why I care about it, not about the tournament. And if you remember, the tournament was one of the first, along with the South by Southwest Festival, to be canceled in March, and everybody said it ain't going to happen, and it did. But it's now in all of the merchandise that's going to happen, whether the tournament comes back this next year or not, will be sold online, and that's where the revenue is going to come from. And they think they're going to make up some significant dollars. So people should have thought about that a lot already, and some have, that from now on, every single sporting event is going to move a lot of their stuff online and try to get some of the money back, whether people go to the games or the events or not.
Tell me about Instagram's Reels.
Reels is an interesting deal. It's a company where they have a platform where they're looking at kind of think of TikTok, but not just in the Chinese way, the international way. So NFL teams, numerous other teams, other partners, how to interrelate to each other. And the bottom line with the company is they're making a lot more money than they ever thought they would. So it's not just one company that's doing a lot of this stuff. It's Instagram Live, IGTV, and Reels partners are long-term goal development. They're focusing on audience engagement in the meantime to try to get as many viewers as they possibly views as they possibly can, which means more money.
And they're working with the likes of Julian Edelman. Epic Games unveiled a $1.7 billion funding round that includes a stake in Sony.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. And it's just another example of what the whole idea of esports means. The Epic Games, you know what they do? They make Fortnite, and they unveiled the $1.78 billion round of financing. The company says it gives a post-money valuation of about $17 billion. That's a lot of money. So Lightspeed Ventures, Ontario Teachers Union, BlackRock, Fidelity Management, you don't know who those people are except if you're in the finance business. And if those people invest in you, you are in good shape. They're attracting over 125 million players in less than a year, hundreds of millions of dollars per month, a cultural phenomenon, and, of course, a lot of money.
I know BlackRock and several of those stocks. Tell me about... the streamers, they're up in a big way, gigantic.
Well, as you might expect, you know, everybody's talked about streaming. This is just the latest example. This is your Viacom, CBS's numbers. It ups up 25%. This is video revenue from streaming to nearly $500 million in the second quarter. So what does that mean? It's $2 billion a year. The pay streaming subscribers hitting about 16 million, up 74%. And the next big deal, probably, the hurdle is inventory. You know, most of these companies had ample programming in the can to span the spring and early summer. Virtually all fall programming delayed due to production coming to a near standstill, especially if there's no college football. What are you going to do? Obviously, the streaming presumes unique content, or at least content that people want to see, and there's not going to be a whole lot of live production.
And finally, respectfully, I got 30 seconds. Baron Davis doing a lot of child's plays, working with kids, doing the right thing.
Doing the right thing. He's got this company called You Wish, and he's got a company that's going to do nothing but create kids programming, kind of like what LeBron James is doing, to try to bring advertising in, but to give kids kind of the right way to behave. So good for him.
All right, his company, other company, Mimo. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Rick, good stuff tonight and today on Coast to Coast. We'll see you again next week. Thanks so much.
Hi, my man.
All right, Rick Haro tonight in Florida, down where Tiger Woods lives. That's where all the celebrities and famous people get DUIs and get busted going to rubbing. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Hit the Raptors to win and the spread. And they were getting points when I got it and when we were on Coast to Coast today. Hit the Mavs over the Jazz with that fourth quarter comeback. And I was getting seven there. Covered there. Double cover. Suns I hit over the Thunder to win. 128-101. Heat I hit over the Pacers to win 114-92. And the Lakers and Nuggets are going at it right now in a timeout, 72-71. Lakers lead it. And I'll say that it's been a pretty good game. A lot of scoring and back and forth. And just like I surmised today on Coast to Coast, Carver High, if you remember, I said, look, the Lakers have to have at least one good performance. I mean, they cannot go completely sour this entire bubble. They have been, in my view, they have been no better than like the Wizards. Literally, they have been that bad. They have literally not tried at all, and they've thrown every game. And it's like... it's unbelievable to me. It's like watching an NFL team in preseason just throw games, knowing that it doesn't mean anything. And then when the regular season starts, they start rattling off wins. You know, same thing here. It's just they have gone down to Orlando, in my view, and completely not tried to win ever. I don't believe for 1 minute they've tried it any game they played. I think they look like they've been tossing games, and that they think that they can flick a switch like AC/DC flicking a switch, and that they can just win in the playoffs when it starts as the number one seed. Are you buying that?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. The only game where you can look at and say they went all out was the first game opening night of the bubble where they played the Clippers, and you knew that the whole world was going to be watching because it was the first night the NBA was back, and that was a great game down to the end. They end up, you know, LeBron hits the shot, stops PG-13 on the other end. But since that opening game against the Clippers, they have basically treated it as glorified scrimmages. That's all it's been.
They never won another game.
No, and you look at tonight, you know, we've talked a lot on Coast to Coast about how the offense is rusty and they're not scoring. I mean, LeBron's playing tonight, and he's 5 of 12 from the field. You know, he's not, it's, you know, hit some shots. You know, I mean, hit some shots. That's all I'm saying.
So I also said today that there's only two players on the team, and the third player that has any skill at all, he just plays when they rest, Kuzma. So LeBron and Davis are the only good players on that team, in my opinion. And I'm going to say it flush. The Kuzma's the only other player, and he only gets burned when they sit. And when one of them rests, or if anyone's injured, Kuzma gets to start, and he gets a green light. The guy can pour it in. He can shoot. I think Kuzma, in fact, without a doubt, like in my opinion, he shoots better. I think he's a better jump shooter than Davis or LeBron. He can shoot. The guy can shoot the ball, right? You can't even argue it. He what?
He's having a good night tonight. He's got 14, 2 of 3 from 3. Kuzma's shooting pretty 6 of 10 overall. He's having a good night.
I mean, I didn't even know that, and I'm just telling you, like, I know every guy in the league, right? I watch more basketball than everyone, and people all think they watch more basketball than me. They don't. They just don't. Not only do I watch more, I play more. So shut up. So here's the deal. I'm watching. I didn't even know what he did. I haven't watched this game like super closely, like every second of it where I'm watching their stats and kind of, I have the volume off and I'm just watching it as I'm doing the show, right? I was watching it in the first half and I saw him hitting some shots because when they give him the green light, he can shoot, right? But here's the deal. What I've seen is, and I'm just going to go through it right now and prove it to you, all right? Do we have time for this? I'm just going to prove it to you right now, all right? Here's what I think of the rest of them. I'm going to literally go down the list and just, I'm just going to tell it like it is. Okay. McGee. JaVale McGee's complete ass. He's just absolutely terrible. I don't care what anybody says. He cannot shoot. He can dunk only. He's 7 foot tall. The guy is a toothpick. He can get up and dunk. And we all know he can alley-oop finish. And he can get a rebound. He can swat a shot. Fair enough, right? But do you really think the Lakers are going to put him in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, 6 or 7? No. So no. He's scratched. He's scratched because he sucks. Okay? Danny Green has never been the same. Right? He's never been the same. He's gone downhill. I don't care what anybody says. Like tonight, 2 of 8 from the floor. He's got 5 points. That's who he is now. Danny Green. Do you remember when he used to matter and he used to have a great three and he used to make all kinds of shots? Do you remember?
I do remember. When he was on the Spurs, he made huge shots for them. Last year with the Raptors, he was awful, except for one of those games in the finals. He showed up
one
and had a couple shots. But the other 5 games in the finals, he did absolutely nothing. Brick City.
Because he doesn't matter anymore. He just has a name for his previous exploits, have given him a name. Everybody knows Danny Green. And the bottom line is that he sucks. That's it. I actually would much rather see Morris in the game. I'm not even kidding. Markieff Morris, his 9 points, 3 boards, and 1 dime, right? 6'8", 250. I like his game. He's got 2 of 3 three-pointers tonight, 8 points, 5 boards. I'll take that every day. I'll take the double, 10 and 8. If he gives me that every night and hits 2 threes, 3 threes, That's all I need from him. Dwight Howard cannot shoot. Dwight Howard is there to rebound and block shots. That's it. He can't shoot. He's terrible. Am I wrong? No, I'm not. It's not even worth arguing. Dion Waiters has 12 tonight. Speaking of ass, Dion Waiters is just, he's an ass sandwich with abs, with like avocados on it and like some onions and some vinegar and some peppers, some even some hot peppers. It, you know, he, Dion Waiters is a complaining hack.
He's on fire tonight. Fire tonight.
Okay, but you remember when he played with him in Cleveland? He's a hack. He's been complaining and moaning and groaning since he's been in the league, right? That he should be doing all this and all that. He's never done anything. Alex Caruso is the whitest player in the league. He's as white as they come. On Coast to Coast, I said he needs hair plugs. Like, just shave it already. Shave it off. Go bald. Be the white Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or something. You know, just rock the bald look. Just go to, he's got 2-3 strands of hair. Even my wife made fun of him. She has no idea about anything in the NBA. She's like, what happened to that guy? That's what she said. She said when she saw Alex Caruso playing, she goes, what is that? And I said, he needs to shave that. And she goes, you got that right. So his game is like that hairdo of his. You know what I mean? It's terrible. All these people trying to sell you that Alex Caruso is some player. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. He's the worst player on the team. He's as white as they come. And then the other ones are all ass too. Jared Fatass Dudley is a complete rec league hack. He should be playing in my league. And Quinn Cook doesn't matter. J.R. Smith's a bum. The whole team's filled. It's like they should call him the Los Angeles ass sandwich. That's what it should be. There's no way. Are you really buying them as NBA champs? Are you seriously going to buy that, Carver High?
I'm not buying them as NBA champs. Look, I think that we're finally going to get a situation here with this bubble where maybe we can get something different. We don't, you know, because you look at the odds. I mean, there is such a gap still. Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, and then an enormous gap in terms of the odds to win the NBA title. I'd love to see somebody else get up in there. But what's going to be interesting to me is how the Lakers have, like you just said, coasted throughout all these games in the bubble since that first game against the Clippers. And the team they might end up playing, the team that we want them to play in the first round, because it would be very intriguing, is Dame and Melo and these guys and Portland. That would be fun. And Portland's been playing playoff games now for 2 weeks. Every game they've been playing in the bubble has been a playoff game. They are going to go into that Lakers series if they get there on such a high intensity level. Are the Lakers, like you said, going to be able to just flip the switch and all of a sudden match the intensity that the Blazers have been playing with for 2 weeks now?
Listen, yeah, it's a great point by you because I don't think so. I don't think that they can just play this way every night, every day in the bubble. And then you hear him saying, LeBron said, it's been really hard for him to adjust to playing in this gym. And it's been hard adjusting to playing in front of no fans. And I've heard everything. I've heard every excuse in the world.
Wasn't hard for Dame when he dropped that 51 yesterday, right?
No. And then I hear Frank Vogel say every day, I'm just trying to play everyone on the roster. My goal is to just give everybody burn. And I'm trying to get everybody. I'm trying new things every day. I'm just working with different rosters, different minutes. I'm trying to give everybody playing time. Okay. Well, when they have to start it up for real, and then none of those players ever get any minutes, because that's what's going to happen, right? They're going to have a seven guys play, right? That's about it. Unless they got massive foul trouble, you're not going to see any of those hacks playing. Trust me. And when you do see the hacks playing, if they get in, seriously, the McGees and the Carusos and the Waiters and the Dwight Howards and the, you know, that's when you're going to see that they're overrated. Listen, I don't deny. I'm not going to sit here and deny that LeBron and Davis are great. I'm not going to deny that. I mean, they are fantastic players. No one, can handle Davis easily, it's a problem every time you have to deal with him. It's automatic. And LeBron is still filthy. So he can do whatever he wants. And it's been pretty obvious to me that he has not tried at all in Orlando because he's saving his body for the playoffs. That's what's going on there. So I think Davis and LeBron have saved themselves and they're going through the motions. And they're going to their plan is to, which I think is a fool's gold, that they can just turn it on whenever they want and do whatever they want, whenever they want, and every night. And I think he's too old to do that every night, whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and every time he wants. Right? You know what I'm saying? So I think it's going to be a lot harder than everybody else does. I also believe that there's sneaky teams in this thing. Portland's one. Denver's one. Dallas is one. There's no doubt in my mind that the Clippers are their biggest nightmare. And so, you know, it's funny to me. Like, you know, I just saw Kuzma acting as cocky as ever. Like, you know, he had the whole eyes and the facial expression going like he made a bucket and they lead by three with 2.5 minutes left in the third. And he's acting like they're some kind of badasses or something. Kyle Kuzma, his resume in terms of hardware is rather naked, if you will. So for him to act cocky like he's done something in the NBA is almost laughable to me. You know what I mean? I've done more in the NBA. I've watched it for 55 years. Thanks. So I've done more than him in his diapers. Okay? So the only ones I respect on the team are Davis and James. That's it. Look, I know Dwight Howard and McGee have a role, and they do it well. I think they rebound and swat shots and dunk well, but that's it. All right, for all in a minute, someone just said that when I turn my head, my ears disappear on the video stream on YouTube. I don't care about any of that. Like, the way I look at this is you're lucky that we do it this way, right? So that you can actually see me doing the show, because it really is a radio show, right? It's supposed to be on the radio, and that's what it is. And then for your luxury, we give you the, and we afford you the opportunity to watch us do these shows. But I don't care about any of that. I can't, like, you know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, worrying about or sitting around worrying about how I look at my age. You know what I mean? Like for a 55-year-old dude, I don't look too bad. And I can guarantee I'll light you up playing basketball. So I will light anybody up. And then at my age, everyone I know that's my age is a fat ass. And they're all lazy. And they're all a bunch of drunks and they're awesome people that I love. All my filthy, disgusting, repulsive friends that are alcoholics and gambling addicts and poker fiends. They're all, you know, dope heads and cigar heads. And they all are bad people in general. And I love them for that. And then I'm just I'm a freak. I'm a machine. I mean, Carver High knows I'm crazy. Like, I'm obsessed with playing basketball. I'm obsessed with, I hate it. I hate to say this because I hate it, but I work out every day. I do something. I'm swimming. I'm lifting. I'm shooting. I'm riding bikes. I rode a bike today, like 10 miles. I don't want to do any of that stuff. And I also don't care about cameras and I don't care about makeup. And, you know, I wear these suits on TV every day. I want to kill myself. Carver High knows it's true. I wear basketball shirts and shorts and flip-flops every day of my life. I don't ever wear shoes, ever. I never wear shoes, ever. I have 5 million pairs of shoes. I wear them to play basketball. That's it. Dress shoes, won't even wear them. I'm going to Mavi's wedding in flip-flops and a suit.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.